Autobiography of George Mueller, or A Million and a Half Answers to Prayer. Chapter 17, Preaching Tours, 1875 to 1892. First tour, England, March 26th to July 6th, 1875. On March 26th, 1875, I began my preaching tours, regarding which I had been much in prayer since the previous October. We began with Brighton, where I preached many times. From Brighton, my dear wife and I went to Sunderland, that I might preach for some time in the chapel of my old and valued friend, Mr. Arthur Rees. On our way to Sunderland, I preached in a large metropolitan tabernacle for Mr. Spurgeon. After I had held meetings sometimes at Sunderland, we went to Newcastle on Tyne, where I preached 18 times and held a large meeting for Christian workers in order to encourage them in their work and to benefit them by my long experience in the Lord's service. After leaving Newcastle on Tyne, we went to London to be present at the Mid-May Park Conference, to which I had been again and again invited. But this was the first time that I could accept the invitation. At this conference, I spoke three times to about 3,000 hearers. After the conference, I preached four times at Talbot Road Tabernacle, London, for Mr. Gordon Furlong. And on June 5th, 1875, addressed about 1,500 Christian workers for an hour and a half at the Edinburgh Castle, London. This brought my first preaching tour to a close. From March 27th to June 5th, I spoke 70 times in public. Second tour, England, Scotland, and Ireland. August 14th, 1875 to July 5th, 1876. After Mrs. Mueller and myself had been in Bristol 5 weeks and 4 days, we set off again on a second missionary tour. That which guided me in my movements this time in particular was a desire to help forward the work of the devoted brethren, Moody and Sankey, who, by that time, had left again for the United States. These dear brethren, from having been able to stay only a comparatively short time in each place, were unable to lead on the young converts in knowledge and grace. I therefore sought to follow up their labors, and in my feeble measure, to do what I could to supply this lack of service. I had already been in York, Sunderland, and Newcastle, where they had labored, and I now went to London, where I held 14 meetings at Mildmay Park Conference Hall during the 15 days we were in London, which meetings were especially intended for young converts. This was only the beginning of this kind of service, for I went afterwards from city to city in England, Scotland, and Ireland, where these brethren had labored, staying from 1 to 6 weeks in each place, with the above special object before me. At Glasgow, I began my labors by addressing a convention of about 5,000 persons, and, as all could not hear me, I was requested to give the address again to an overflow meeting of about 1,200 in a neighboring church. We stayed in Glasgow 36 days, during which time I preached 38 times. Every Lord's Day evening, for 5 weeks in succession, I preached at the Prince of Wales Theater to about 3,000 persons each time. On the weekdays, when this theater could not be rented, I held meetings in various large churches in the city, especially for young converts, and had from 1,500 to 1,700 at a time present. The very first time I preached in the theater in Glasgow, about 20 persons were led to care about their souls, and meeting after meeting brought blessing. Our tour throughout Scotland at this time was interrupted by a pressing invitation from Dublin, by a special deputation, that I would go to the Dublin Convention. This I accepted, as I was particularly desired to address about 400 ministers, chiefly clergymen, at this convention. We left Glasgow on November 19th. On November 21st, I gave an address at the Breaking of Bread at Marianne Hall, Dublin, and in the evening preached to about 2,000 persons in that hall. On November 22nd, I addressed, by request, at the convention, an assembly of 400, consisting of ministers only, on what is holiness and how is it obtained. In the afternoon, I addressed about 2,000 hearers at the same place on faith that worketh by love. On November 21st, 25th, I spoke again at the convention and gave also an address at the noonday prayer meeting on the 26th, and immediately after closing it, gave it over again by particular request to an overflow meeting. December 3rd, I preached at the Metropolitan Hall, and in the afternoon on Sunday, December 5th, at the Exhibition Palace, where I addressed about 2,500 persons, at least. This was a precious meeting, and the power of the Spirit was felt. During the 20 days we were in Dublin, I preached 21 times. On December 10th, we left Dublin, going to Leamington, Warwick, Kenilworth, Coventry, and Rugby. 1876. On January 7th, we went to Liverpool. I had been invited to preach some time at the immense Victoria Hall, which had been built for Monsignor Moody and Sankey. Here I preached day by day twice, viz. At noon and at 7 in the evening. Also on the Lord's Day, afternoons and evenings. On Sundays, I had from 5,000 to 6,000 hearers, and on the weekdays, from 2,000 to 2,500. We stayed at Liverpool from January 7th to February 15th. The very first time I preached at Victoria Hall, one of the former orphans, a commander of a large merchant vessel, was converted. And thus, time after time, God gave blessing. On February 15th, my dear wife and I went to Kendo, where the Society of Friends kindly lent me their meeting house to preach in, as it was the largest place to be obtained in the town. I preached also in the Sand Area Chapel. On February 21st, we went to Carlisle's. The day after, we started for Scotland. We remained 6 weeks in Edinburgh. The large General Assembly Hall of the Free Church was very kindly placed at my disposal to hold meetings, and every Sunday evening, also as often as I desired, on the evenings of the week, and I generally spoke every day at the noon prayer meeting. I preached in many of the churches also, and in all 53 times during our stay in Edinburgh. I had a meeting likewise with a great number of pastors whom I addressed for about an hour, and spoke to the theological students also of the Free Church College. On April the 6th, we left for Arbroath and then went to Montrose and Aberdeen. After I had further preached at Ballater and several other cities in reading in Berkshire, this second preaching tour was brought to a close on July 5th, 1876. After we had been absent from Bristol since August 14th, 1875. Third tour, Switzerland, Germany, and Holland, August 16th, 1876 to June 25th, 1877. May 26th, 1877. During the greater part of the past year, accompanied by my dear wife, I had been absent from Bristol on a preaching tour on the continent of Europe, preaching in many places in Switzerland, Württemberg, the Grand Duchy of Baden, the Grand Duchy of Hesse, Darmstadt, Prussia, and Holland. Altogether, I preached 302 times in 68 places, most of which were large towns. To every place I had been invited by letter, as through my labors and writings I have been for more than 30 years as well known on the continent as in England. The abundant blessing which the Lord had been pleased to allow to rest upon these my labors everywhere encourages me to go on with this service and to spend the evening of my life in going from city to city and country to country, as long as the Lord gives me health and otherwise makes my way plain. While my dear wife and I were absent in Bristol, all went on as satisfactorily in connection with the Scriptural Knowledge Institution as if I had been present. Thus the Lord confirmed by this also that I should be engaged as I was. In cases in which my counsel or judgment was needed, it was given as I received every week, once or twice, reports from Mr. Wright. It is necessary that I distinctly state that my preaching tour on the continent had no connection whatever with the Scriptural Knowledge Institution. It was not undertaken for the purpose of collecting money for it, nor even for the purpose of bringing it before my hearers on the continent, but solely that by my experience and knowledge in divine things, I might benefit Christians and especially younger believers, that I might preach the gospel to the unconverted. I did not even refer to the institution except when especially requested to do so. Fourth tour, Canada and the United States. August 18, 1877 to July 8, 1878. July 10, 1878. When I began this institution and especially orphan work, my hope was that, by means of it, the Lord would be pleased to lead the church at large increasingly to see the importance and value of prayer, and that by this institution, the faith of the children of God would be strengthened, and to the world would be shown the reality of the things of God. This, my expectation, God be praised for it, has been realized above my largest expectations. Thousands of instances were brought before me through letters or by personal intercourse during very many years past, how God has been working in this particular, but with all that I had witnessed before, was as nothing in comparison with what has come before me during the last 3 years and 3 months. Whilst I have been laboring in word and doctrine, in preaching tours in England, Scotland, Ireland, Switzerland, the German Empire, Holland, Canada, and the United States of America, in every one of the hundreds of places where I preached, generally in large cities, I met great numbers who, through reading the yearly reports of the institution, or the narrative of the Lord's dealings with me, had either been converted, or had had their faith strengthened, or were more entirely made to commit all their affairs into the hands of God by prayer and faith. Thus it came that wherever I appeared in these hundreds of different places, I was welcomed as an old friend who had been loved for 20, 30 years or more. Great numbers desired to see and converse with me and to listen to me whilst preaching the word of life, and hundreds of thousands came thus in various countries for further instruction. During the past year, I had been on a preaching tour in the United States of America in order that I might comply with the oft-repeated request to labor in the word for a time in that vast country also. This earnest request I at last considered after much prayer to be God's calling, and accordingly sailed on August 23, 1877 with my dear wife for America, where we remained until June 27, 1878, and having preached a few times at Quebec, we proceeded to the United States, where I preached in very many of the important towns. In the state of Utah, we went out of our way to go to Salt Lake City, that thus, at the very seat of the fearful errors of Mormonism, I might deliver a testimony for God and strengthen the hands of Christians who are sound in the foundational truths. In many of the large cities I addressed by particular request the pastors and ministers of such cities and the neighborhoods, and had 17 meetings of this kind, which were attended not only by 100 or 200, but once by 300, and on another occasion by 500. To these meetings came the pastors and ministers of the various evangelical denominations. I addressed the ministers generally for an hour or more, and then they asked me questions afterwards. These meetings I reckon to have been the most important part of all my services on this preaching tour. I addressed also, by the particular request of the presidents and professors, the students of 15 universities, colleges, and theological seminaries, for this important service which I was permitted to render. I desire to be especially grateful to my Heavenly Father. In addition to these universities, colleges, and seminaries, I have addresses in five other higher education establishments by request of the principals. I had also, in several large cities, special meetings for Christian workers who varied in number from 500 to 2,500. In all, I preached during this tour 299 times, and we traveled, by land and water, above 19,000 miles. My preaching was not confined to the English-speaking population, but I ministered also many times among the natives of Germany, of whom there are several millions in the United States. Nor was my service merely among the white population, but often I ministered also to the colored people and had generally then also immense congregations. I did not labor among particular denominations, but as I love all who love our Lord Jesus Christ, and as I habitually seek more and more to promote union among all the children of God, I preached among so-called Episcopalians, Presbyterians, Congregationalists, Episcopal Methodists, Lutheran, and Baptists. I had among them all many open doors, which I gladly entered, as nothing was required of me by anyone, which I could not do with a good conscience. While I was absent from Bristol, all went on most satisfactory, so that when we returned, I could only admire the kindness of God. The statements which have appeared in some public papers that I have obtained very large sums for the institution in America are entirely false, for all the donations handed to me for the institution could not meet one half of its average expenses for one single day, as I did not receive as much as £60. Fifth tour, Switzerland, France, Spain, and Italy. September 5th, 1878 to June 18th, 1879. After having stayed in Bristol from July 8th to September 5th, I set off for the continent. My ministry there was in England, English and Germany. And after I had become again, by practice, more familiar with French, in that language also. While in Spain and Italy, I preached in one or the other of these three languages, and if necessary, with translation into Spanish or Italian. The blessing which God had been pleased to bestow upon this preaching tour has been very great, but the day of the Lord alone will show the full result. In the meantime, I praise God for condescending to use a poor, unworthy servant as I am for such precious service. I have had not only opportunities of bringing the truth before the middle and poorer classes, but also before many in the higher ranks of life, and before some of the nobility and aristocrats of different countries, who chiefly on account of health, were in the cities of the Mediterranean and elsewhere where I preached. After I had preached three times in Paris, we went again to Switzerland, where we were most warmly welcomed. At Verdun, I saw the widow of a dear brother in Christ, gone to his rest many years ago, whom I knew on my first beginning to minister in the word at Tenemouth at the commencement of the year 1830. And I learned from his widow only then that he was converted through my instrumentality. Thus, after more than 48 years, I heard for my encouragement of another incident of blessing through my early labors in the Word in England. From Verdun, we went to Geneva, where I preached 12 times. From Geneva, we went to Lyons, thence to Marseille, and afterwards to Nimes and Montpellier. From Montpellier, we went to Spain, as I desired greatly with my own eyes to see the schools, which had been entirely supported for a number of years by the funds of the Scriptural Knowledge Institution, and also that I might see as much as possible of the mission work generally, in aid of which we had sent so many thousands of pounds to Spain within the last 10 years. We reached Barcelona on the evening of the second day, December 13, 1878. Here we stayed a fortnight, and I gave altogether 23 addresses, which, with the exception of a few in English and German, without translation, were chiefly in English and Spanish interpreters. At Barcelona, we had most happy intercourse with a number of brethren who labor in the gospel, and our 10-day schools under the superintendency of Mr. Henry Payne, we found in the most satisfactory state. There were in these 10-day schools, when I inspected them, 756 pupils, almost all the children of Polish parents who so greatly value these schools, that though through the threats and persuasions of the priests, children are sometimes removed from them, yet they are generally brought back again after a week or two, because the parents say they are so greatly benefited by going to our schools. From Barcelona, we went to Saragossa. From Saragossa, we proceeded to Madrid, where I spoke 15 times in English or German, or in English with Spanish interpretations. Our five-day schools in Madrid, under the superintendency of Mr. Fenn, I likewise found in a most satisfactory state, and we could only rejoice in seeing so many children, both in Barcelona and Madrid, brought under the sound of the gospel, whereby also the Popish parents, in many instances, have been benefited because their children read to them, when at home, out of the Word of God, and sing their precious gospel hymns. From Madrid, we went back to France, where I held one meeting at Bayonne and one at Biarritz. In all the different places in the Mediterranean, so exceedingly frequented during the winter months by visitors from various countries, I held meetings especially for them. And this was just one point which made my service so important, because many, through my work and writings, knew me and were ready to come in here. At Mentone, I enjoyed especially the intercourse I had with Mr. Spurgeon, with whom I spent repeatedly a considerable time. After leaving Mentone, we went into Italy and preached at several cities, including Pisa and Florence. From Florence, we went to Rome, where I preached 20 times in various languages, with or without translation into Italian, as I had done in Florence. In this city, wherever the eye turned, almost you saw idolatry. No longer now the idolatry of pagan Rome, but of so-called Christian Rome. I counted it, therefore, an especial honor to be allowed to witness for the Lord in Rome also. From Rome, we went to Naples, where I was permitted to preach 20 times. It is the largest city in Italy. Here, as everywhere else, I had happy intercourse with Christians, preaching in all the various evangelical churches gladly, where they held they had even Christ and were sound in the foundational truth of our most holy faith. For I take a special delight in seeking to promote love and union among the various bodies of believers. After leaving Naples, I preached also in Bologna, Venezia, Como, Milan, Turin, and in the Waldensian Valleys. We then went to Paris, and after I had preached there twice, we left for Bristol, where we arrived on June 18, 1879, after I had preached together during these 9 months and 12 days, 286 times, in 46 different towns or cities. Sixth tour, United States and Canada, August 27, 1879 to June 17, 1880. On August 28, 1879, we left again for America, landing at New York on September 6th, and from that time up to June 5th, 1880, when we embarked at Quebec to return to Europe. I preached altogether 299 times in 42 different places, having been 272 days in America. In the saloon of a German inn on our outward voyage, I preached once. I preached also 5 times on board the Sardinia during our voyage back to England. While laboring in America, I had 12 meetings, at which for about an hour or upwards I addressed evangelical ministers of the cities where these meetings were held. A very large number generally gathered together, and after speaking, I answered questions put to me regarding the ministry of the word or pastoral labors. 3 meetings also were held, at which I addressed hundreds of other Christian workers each time. I addressed the students of the universities and theological seminaries or colleges 14 times, when generally hundreds, and on one occasion about 1,000 were present. Finally, we had to leave the country with 154 written invitations, which I was unable to accept. For the longer we stayed, the more did these invitations increase. During this second visit to America, I made it very specially my business to preach to the Germans, of whom there are about 9 million in the United States, in their own language, a service which is greatly needed in that country. Immigration from Germany and German Switzerland increases more and more, and again this spring vast numbers arrived in the United States. They greatly need to have the truth ministered to them, for they have not the advantages that many of the Americans have. As I am able, therefore, habitually to preach in America in two different languages, both in Canada and in the United States, as my service in these countries had been signally owned by God. After much prayer, I consider it to be the will of God that we return again to America. Seventh tour, Canada and the United States. September 15, 1880 to May 31, 1881. On September 15, 1880, my dear wife and I left Bristol for Liverpool, and on the following day embarked for Quebec. To the praise of God, I would here particularly mention that, in crossing the Atlantic upon this occasion, for the fifth time, not only was I entirely free from seasickness, but I had not the slightest indisposition during the whole voyage. 4 years ago, when I received a hearty invitation from five pastors of the churches of five different denominations to visit America and labor for a time in connection with them, I gave myself earnestly to prayer in order to assert whether this was a call from God or not. Very many times during the previous 20 years, I have received invitations to visit the United States, but never seriously considered the matter before. When, however, this joint letter from those five pastors was spread before the Lord, my heart was willing to go to America if He called me. Thither, notwithstanding my natural antipathic to the voyage. For though I have been to sea now 25 times, direct service for the Lord has been my object in going, and never my own gratification. I told my Heavenly Father that, if it were His holy will, we should go to America, but only will I willing to suffer greatly from seasickness, as had been the case many years ago, but that I was ready to endure any other discomforts or even to risk my life during the passage. And now, what has been the result? Not only have I crossed the Atlantic 6 times without suffering in the least, but I have been able carefully to attend to my dear wife, who at the commencement of each voyage was extremely ill, preached the word on board several times, and repeatedly in other ways to serve the Lord. This I mention in order that my beloved fellow believers may not allow themselves to be kept from service by the prospect of trial or suffering in connection with giving themselves to the Lord's work. During the passage to Canada, I was able to preach 8 times. On September 26th, we landed at Quebec. Here we had the joy of seeing a Roman Catholic gentleman of high position attend each of the last 5 meetings at which I preached. When they were over, I conversed with him about his soul, and he gladly accepted the 3 volumes of my narrative. On the 4th October, we started for Boston in the United States and remained 5 weeks in that city. During our stay at Boston, I repeatedly went to a midday prayer meeting called the Market Men's Prayer Meeting and gave addresses there. While at Boston, I had the privilege of addressing about 100 Methodist Episcopal ministers for an hour, and upon another occasion addressed more than 200 Episcopal, Presbyterian, Congregationalist, Baptist, Lutheran, and other ministers at the same time, answering questions put to me afterwards by them with a view of asserting what is the most scriptural way of carrying on the Lord's work. Milford, Massachusetts was the next place we visited, and on November 13th we proceeded to Amherst. Here, President Seeley, with whom we had been in correspondency, kindly met us on our arrival, and the following afternoon a meeting was held at the college chapel, at which 339 of the students were present, whom I had the pleasure of addressing for nearly an hour. In the evening, at one of the churches in Amherst, I preached to a large crowded congregation, and the next day attended the pastor's meeting, where the privilege was granted me of addressing 15 fellow laborers in the gospel, and of seeking to strengthen their hands in the Lord. After leaving Amherst, we went to Northampton, where I addressed 260 of the lady students at Smith's College. On the 18th November, we went to South Hadley, where the celebrated Mount Hoki Female Seminary is situated, founded in 1837 by that holy, excellent woman, Mary Lyon. Here in the evening, and also the next morning, I had the privilege of addressing the 250 lady students who belong to it. From this institution, many godly, devoted young women have gone forth as missionaries, and numbers of eminent Christian teachers have received their education and training at Mount Hoki. One particular feature of the system there is the attention the young ladies are required to pay to the domestic arrangements. They are expected in every way to make themselves useful, and not only do they cook and wash their own clothes, but the entire household work of the large establishment is performed between them. The whole, however, is so conducted that their education, which is of a very high order, both with reference to mental culture and religious training, is at the same time carried on admirably. I believe it would be an excellent thing if the young ladies of Great Britain were more systematically instructed in those domestic occupations, which are so intimately connected with the comfort and welfare of well-regulated households. Next, we went to Hartford, Connecticut, where I preached 6 times and held a meeting for pastors. When the privilege of addressing 30 brethren in Christ and of replying afterwards to any questions they asked was accorded me. In this city, I held also 3 German meetings. At New Haven, Connecticut, we arrived on the 27th of November. This place is famous as the seat of the Yale College, or rather university, founded in the year 1700 and containing 859 students. Through the courtesy of the president and university chaplain, I had twice an opportunity of addressing a considerable number of the students, a service in which I take the deepest interest from having been converted myself while a student at the University of Halle. These, my labors among the students of colleges, theological seminaries, and universities, both in Europe and America, the Lord has condescended to bless greatly in several instances, which have since come to my knowledge. In this place, I had also a precious meeting with about 50 pastors from the city and neighborhood. On December the 8th, we proceeded to New York. During our 2 former visits to America, I had been able to give comparatively but little time to this, the largest of all the cities in the United States, which now contains more than 1,300,000 inhabitants. We considered it, therefore, to be the will of God that we should stay for a considerable time in this city and seek to do what we could for its spiritual welfare. As in New York alone, the Germans exceeded 300,000 in number, and at Brooklyn, which adjoins it, there are 200,000 more. I had abundant opportunity of preaching among them. The English-speaking population of New York, Brooklyn, and the neighborhood is about 1.5 million. 1881. We remained, therefore, at New York 14 weeks and 3 days. During our stay there were 9 meetings for pastors, 4 for Christian workers, and also I addressed 125 students of the Union Theological Seminary by desire of the president and professors. During the whole period of our stay in New York, I preached 92 times. 38 of these services were in German, and the others in English. On the 19th March, we left New York for Newark, New Jersey, a city of about 120,000 inhabitants, among whom there are above 30,000 Germans. Before our arrival there, many German services had already been arranged, so that for nearly 3 weeks I preached almost exclusively among the Germans, and not in the large American churches of the city, until a later period. On April 16th, we went to Port Chester. On the 13th May, we returned to New York, that I might fulfill a few preaching engagements made before our departure thence, and embark for England after a stay of about 8 months in America. During this, our 3rd visit to the United States, I preached altogether 244 times. At 18 of these meetings, I addressed German or American pastors. 15 of them were held for the students of universities, theological seminaries, and colleges, and at 7, I spoke to Christian workers as such. On May 21st, we left New York, and after a most favorable passage, landed at Liverpool on May 30th. Having much reason heartily to praise God for his abundant loving kindness towards us during our travels by land and by water. 8th tour, Egypt, Palestine, Syria, Asia Minor, Turkey, and Greece. August 23rd, 1881 to May 30th, 1882. My 8th preaching tour began on August 23rd, 1881 when we left for Switzerland. After I had preached for some time in Wartenberg, we began our journey to the Holy Land, to which country we were led in a remarkable providential manner. On October 20th, we left Marseilles by steamer for Alexandria in Egypt, where we arrived after a voyage of 6 days. Here I found myself in the 12th country of my preaching tours, and then it became necessary, when no English, German, or French-speaking congregations could be met with, to make use of interpretation into Arabic. At Alexandria, we met with great kindness from the American missionaries, the Scotch minister, the German pastor, and the German deaconesses, who made arrangements for meeting so that I had a considerable amount of work during the 10 days we were there. On November 5th, we went by railway from Alexandria to Cairo, where I also preached several times for the German pastor, and in connection with the American mission, there being here likewise faculty given for service to the full. While at Cairo, we spent one day visiting the Great Pyramids, 10 miles from the city, and upon another occasion went to the museum, which contains a number of mummies, several of the embalmed bodies being those of Egyptian kings recently discovered. Among them there is the mummy of the great oppressor, the Pharaoh, during whose reign the Israelites had most of all to suffer, until they were delivered by Jehovah through his servant Moses. On the 11th of November, we left Cairo for Port Said, where we did not arrive until 2 hours after midnight. Here also the Lord was pleased to give me deeply interesting work among the Germans and English. A remarkable circumstance was that 14 men who had just suffered shipwreck were present at an English service, so their lives had been saved. I took advantage of the impressive circumstances and pressed upon them the acceptance of the gospel. At a German service, a considerable number of young men and women from Bohemia were present, who earned their bread at Alexandria, Cairo, Port Said, etc., by their great talent for music. They were all Roman Catholics. To each of them, a copy of the Bible or New Testament in German was given, and to the English sailor, a copy in English. On the afternoon of November 14th, we left Port Said for Jaffa, the ancient Joppa, on the coast of Palestine, on board a large Russian steamer, in which, besides the saloon passengers, there were in the steerage about 100 to 150 Roman or Russian pilgrims with their priests of the Greek church on their way to Jerusalem. All these pilgrims were supplied with a copy of the Holy Scriptures in Rush by a Scotch evangelist and an agent of the British and Foreign Bible Society at a nominal price. These two brethren labored for the Lord habitually at Port Said, which is a most important seaport, where they have many opportunities of meeting with people of various nationalities. The Russian pilgrims to whom I have referred, though substantially holding all the fearful errors of the Church of Rome without being under the supremacy of the Pope, yet differ from the Papists in this particular, that their priests, instead of hindering them from seeking the Word of God, encouraged them to purchase it. At 8 o'clock on November 15th, we found ourselves off the coast of Palestine at Jaffa and cast anchor about a mile from the shore. We had an extremely rough, unpleasant passage from the voyage to the shore in a boat rowed by 8 Arabs, the waves and surf being tremendous at Jaffa when the wind is high. There being a German colony at Joppa, as well as American and English missionaries. I had abundant opportunity of preaching to German and English congregations, or in either of these languages with Arabic interpretation, when neither English nor German was understood. After having stayed 12 days at Joppa on November 28th, we started for Jerusalem in an open Russian wagon with three horses. Between Joppa and Ramleh, for about 12 miles, the cultivation of the land is pretty good, and the soil appears productive. But as soon as the mountainous district commenced, which in the Holy Scriptures is called the Mountains of Judah, the aspect of the country became wild and dreary. Palestine called so many times in the Scripture, the land flowing with milk and honey, and the glory of all lands, has now a most barren and rocky appearance, so that one is forced to see that God's curse rests even upon the land, and not merely upon the people who once inhabited the country, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Nevertheless, the day is coming when Jehovah will remember even the land, and when the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. After a journey of 12 hours on the most rough and trying character, over the only made road which exists in the whole of Palestine, but which is so bad that the worst of all Egyptian roads we ever traveled upon is better than it, we reached Jerusalem in the evening and had to alight before the Joppa gate, as no carriage or vehicle of any description can enter the city, the streets being far too narrow and too badly paved for carriages to be driven along them. You must either walk in Jerusalem or ride upon horses, mules, or donkeys, and the only way of conveying goods and merchandise from one part of the city to another is upon these animals or upon camels. All the 9 weeks and 2 days we were staying at Jerusalem, we never saw a carriage, and even the uncomfortable Russian wagons, when wanted, must be ordered from Joppa, where they are kept by the Germans. At the Metropolitan Hotel, we took up our abode, and upon its flat roof, which formed a kind of terrace, we often walked during our sojourn there, on account of the wretched state of the streets. From this elevated spot, we had a fine view of the Mount of Olives, the Mosque of Omar, where the temple formerly stood, and could overlook almost the whole city. One of the missionary brethren told me on December 1st that the Pasha, or governor of Jerusalem, had received orders from the Sultan of Constantinople not to sell any considerable quantity of land to the Jews for the sake of forming a Jewish colony, lest difficulties should arise to the Ottoman Empire from the European powers. For all I could learn, the missionaries who labor among the Jews, very excellent men, have comparatively little encouragement in their service and greatly need, on that account, the help by prayer of all true Christians, for as soon as the rabbis find that any Israelite is in the least degree tending towards Christianity, all support is at once cut off from him. And as the Jews in Jerusalem are generally very poor, none of those who are in earnest come as inquirers after the way of salvation. The number of true converts from Judaism to Christianity is extremely small. This I do not mention as discouragement for service, but I seek to stir up Christians to prayer. Whilst at Jerusalem, we visited Bethany, saw the tomb of Lazarus, and from the summit of the Mount of Olives had an extensive view of part of Jordan, on the valley which Lot chose for himself, and of the neighborhood of the cave of Adullam. From the Mount of Olives, we also had by far the best view of Jerusalem, which is to be obtained anywhere. The Garden of Gethsemane was likewise visited by us, and the Pool of Bethesda, also the Mosque of Omar, where the temple formerly stood, and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, built, as it is said, over the spot where our Lord was crucified. In going to Bethany, we crossed the brook Kidron, which, however, only has water in it when there have been heavy rains. Otherwise, it is quite dry. One day, we rode upon donkeys to Bethlehem, 6 miles from Jerusalem. At another time, we went to the upper pool, where Ashki spoke to the men on the wall in the days of Hezekiah. Also the place where Herod's palace was, the castle to which Paul was taken, the pool of Siloam, now without water. One of the most memorable places we saw was the wailing place of the Jews. Every Friday afternoon, shortly before sunrise, 200 or 300 Jews assemble close to some immense stones, the remains, it is supposed, of a temple. These they kiss while they offer prayer and bewail. Some with tears in their eyes, the calamities which have befallen the city and